Tonight's voluntary voice takes us to Vane Farm, a nature reserve run by the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. So, you may ask, what has this got to do with it? Well, I don't know about you, but that's not the sound that you would usually associate with a nature reserve, is it? What you might expect is something a little more like this. What both these sounds have in common is that they're both part of the atmosphere of Vane Farm, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds Nature Reserve on the shore of Loch Leven, just outside Kinross.
And although it's situated right on a main road, as soon as you get there, you're in the heart of the country.
This is Voluntary Voice, brought to you by Richard Hardy and Nancy Haig of the Tayside Regional Council's Community Education Service for Campus Radio on Radio Tay.
What's Voluntary Voice got to do with a nature reserve, you may ask? After all, this series is about the work of volunteers, not about the protection of birds, no matter how important that may be.
Well, if it's volunteers you're looking for, Vane Farm is certainly the place to go. Tom Sutty and Nancy went there on a volunteer spotting trip, and their number and variety rivaled that of the birds, which were the target of the rest of the visitors.
Protection of the environment is becoming a very fashionable issue. But to the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, it's nothing new. In fact, this year marks its centenary as a voluntary organisation. Jim Stevenson, warden at Vane Farm, explains how it got started.
It's now the biggest conservation charity in Europe, probably about the third biggest in the world. But it really started with just the main aim was to stop the trade in bird skins for ladies' hats. That was the beginning. And from there, we were successful in that, and then we went on to putting people on guarding nest sites. That was the second job the RSPB ever had. And the first place we ever did it was here, at Loch Leven. In 1902, we had somebody guarding pintail nesting on the loch. And that was one of our first voluntary wardens, if you like. And it wasn't really until about the time of the Second World War that we really got onto our main business, which is buying reserves for birds. So that's where most of our money goes, is buying and managing reserves. So most of the work we do is on reserves.
So the main focus of the RSPB is naturally the purchase and maintenance of reserves. But what else do they get up to? Here's Jim again.
There are other departments that are conservation departments at headquarters, people who lobby Parliament, both the British Parliament and the European Parliament, and keep MPs informed on issues like forestation, set aside on farms, tidal barrage schemes, which we're mostly opposed to, all that kind of thing. Political departments, really, active conservation lobbying. And then we have Species Protection Department, which is concerned with policing the Countryside Act. They work closely with the police to catch people stealing birds' eggs or peregrine chicks or something like that. And an Education Department, which is now part of the Publications and Information Division of the Society, which is a huge business, really, getting into all the schools in the country with regional education officers spread throughout the country. So there's a broad front, but everything we do has to be by charter connected to the conservation of wild birds.
Jim Stevenson telling us how the RSPB has grown from small beginnings into the largest conservation charity in Europe. But why have a reserve at Vane Farm? What's so special about it?
We bought it in 1967 as the first nature centre in Europe. That's special in itself. It was the first nature reserve where people came first, really, where you was bought specifically with the idea of having people coming. Up until then, you really tried to keep people off nature reserves. And we bought this at Vane Farm, just on the south side, in order to show people the birds on the loch without frightening them all off. So Loch Leven is an internationally important site, a world site, if you like. One of the most important places for ducks in the whole world. Certainly the best place for breeding ducks in Europe, and one of the main overwintering sites for pink-footed geese and thousands of duck, many of which are out there today. That alone is pretty good, but the idea of Vane Farm is that we have good indoor facilities if it's a wet day, and let's face it, it quite often is. And we have a nature trail up the hill with a great view, so it's a great place to get a good natural history outdoor experience for the beginner. They go from marshland up through bracken slopes and birch woods and then out into the heather and the rocks on the top in a very short time. There's not many places you can do that.
So Vane Farm's an important site for wild birds and one that gives access to the public. It's all organised by a voluntary organisation, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, but run by paid staff like Jim Stevenson. Does he see a role for volunteers now in the RSPB?
Oh, more than ever. In fact, we've now employed somebody more or less to look after volunteers because we have thousands of volunteers doing different things. Our members groups are all over the country, and those are there to raise money and to raise the profile of society in the community. So that's where the biggest number of volunteers is. Most of our members hardly ever visit reserves, but for the chosen few, there is a lot of work to be done on reserves themselves. You can be a warden of an RSPB reserve voluntarily. A lot of our reserves don't have full-time wardens, and we put people on just during the breeding season to guard the sites. And you can be on places like Hander. Loch Garten is a great place to be, and there are often a couple of dozen volunteers there at a time, and people come back year after year. Marvellous place to be. And the sort of jobs you might get asked to do would be building hides or showing the public around. Just all the jobs a warden does, really. We can't operate without them. Here we have youngsters. We have a little bunk room and we have youngsters staying there sometimes, and they come and do all the hefty work on the reserve. We have youngsters who just watch birds for us, keep a log of what birds turn up. We have people who just welcome members and visitors to the reserve and explain how to use the telescopes. We have ladies making tea. We have groups that come, like the Camping and Caravan Club today, but also like our Edinburgh members group, have a conservation group within the members group who come out about once a month and dig ditches for us and that kind of thing. So there's the whole spread. You can do a sedentary job sitting in the hide, or you can be wandering around patrolling, digging ditches, whatever suits you. We need volunteers. You don't have to be a bird watcher. There are times when we need a volunteer in the shop just to stack the shelves or just to help out taking the ticket money. So it's endless, really. Being a charity, every penny has to be accounted for, and we do try to keep our staff down to a minimum. We need volunteers probably more than ever.
Jim's given us an idea of the kind of work done by volunteers at Vane Farm, so let's meet some of them and find out a bit more about their work.
Harold Russell looks after visitors who use the observation room at Vane Farm. When Tom Sutty and I were at the farm, Harold showed me the room. He told me about the sort of things that visitors can see from there.
Mainly wildfowl, of course. It's a great place for wildfowl. We've got the tufteds, we've got the golden eye, we've got pochard, we've got widgeon. And then, of course, triumphantly above it all, especially this time of the year, we're awaiting and are now receiving the arrival of the geese from the far north. And as I sit here talking to you, I can see a group of them coming across the hills in the distance, and they're flying along, and eventually they will come round and they will drop down in these wonderful meadows here. They're coming in having fulfilled their breeding cycle in the far north, and they're now coming here to take their place for wintering, which this is a wintering reserve for the geese. Pink feet and grey lag mainly, and this morning of all mornings we did see among them, especially away to our left in the plough field, we saw at least 11 to 17 barnacle geese, which is quite unusual because the barnacle geese go down the west side, the pinkfoots and the grey lags in the main come down the east side, but today we have actually got quite a collection of barnacles, so everybody's really quite excited. And that excitement, of course, feeds along amongst the visitors that come up here to have a look for themselves.
Yes, now is definitely the time to be up at Vane Farm if you want to see the wild geese landing. And the observation room is certainly the best place to see them. Harold now explains what to expect when you make that visit.
I think the important thing we feel is for people to feel at home. They may be a little shy of the telescopes, and they approach them and they look at them as if they might be looking at something that's going to go off pop any moment. And gradually they sit down and have a look, and you can tell by the expression on their faces they're not doing too well, they're not seeing too well. Then's the moment you can go up to them and say, well now, how are you getting on? Are you managing to focus all right? And they say, well, and they say, well, this is the way you focus. And you watch them, and it's really quite thrilling because you can observe that moment of triumph. They say, oh, look at that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? What a lovely place Vane Farm is. And that really is most rewarding.
Harold Russell making an excellent job of looking after the visitors at Vane Farm. Harold, of course, is a bird enthusiast, and that's one very obvious reason for his being a volunteer. But what else does he get out of it?
I'm in retirement, and I give a day a week in the main, have done for nearly 5 years, and I've done this with great joy because I've always been interested in birds, but all my working life I've never had the ability to put it into practice because of the pressure of work and family life and what have you. And now I have this wonderful opportunity, and all that I've read on the commuter trains in and out of London suddenly has come together. Almost like a jigsaw puzzle, all the pieces sort of automatically go into position, and the thing has gelled from that, and it really has been most exciting and very rewarding for me too, because it's not a one-sided thing to volunteer. You volunteer in a thing because you like doing a thing, or you like a connection with that thing. Fulfillment in volunteering is really the essence of the game, and this is what one has found here. I can't say too much about that without mentioning the fact that, of course, way is made at Vane Farm for that kind of thing. The warden himself is of an extrovert character, and he's a great chap to get on with, and he brings out the best of all his volunteers. I think this really is what makes us really become part of a family, because as being a volunteer, you do have the advantage of being in what is going on in the society locally, all the events and that, which is nice, and you meet all sorts of people. You meet older people, you meet young people, you get a cross-section of humanity, you get people who are rough in handling the telescopes, you get people who are nervous in handling them, and all that kind of thing, to me, makes life worth living and is of great interest, and adds to the interest of bird watching generally. The excitement that runs through a number of people up here when there's something that they haven't seen before is really something that has to be experienced to be really known, because it is terrific. And everybody else gets caught up in this, so the whole thing gels together.
Well, it's obvious what Harold gets out of being a volunteer. His story shows the two very positive aspects of volunteering. The help that organisations like the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds get from volunteers, and the pleasure and interest that people like Harold get from doing voluntary work.
Mike Tudor is another volunteer at Vane Farm, and he works with the Young Ornithologists Club. When Nancy was there, she asked Mike how he came to get involved as a volunteer.
I started off by being a visitor, like a lot of people, found it interesting, and then started in the hides and sort of speaking to people, and then got involved with the Young Ornithologist group because my son got involved, and it's just continued from there.
So what sort of things do the Young Ornithologist Club do here at Vane Farm?
The weekend before last, they ran a cafeteria to raise money. They sold the some of the nest boxes and bird feeders and bird tables that they've made to raise funds. It's a project they're trying to purchase their own telescope. Then they do tree planting later on in the season when the time's right. They repair the nest boxes. We also did a survey on all the nest boxes. We cleaned them out and listed the ones that needed repair, the ones that had been used, and the ones that weren't used, in case there's resighting of the box, in case it's at the wrong angle that the bird wouldn't use it.
And how is Vane Farm used as a base for the YOC? What sort of activities do the young people do from here?
Most of the educational material is at Vane, so therefore we've got easy access to the educational material they need. Plus you've got the centre, which has got woods and the lock, which gives them a good variation of birds. And it's an easy access from a surrounding area, so the catchment area for Vane Farm is very, very good for the young ornithologists.
And they observe birds and they identify them?
Yes, yes. They would go out, the older ones would go out and identify most of the birds that would come to Vane Farm, whereas the younger ones, you can show them pictures either in books or on poster form. And then we go out and find the birds for them, and then they can identify them using binoculars or telescope. And then they can relate, you know, the living object with a picture. And then next time we go out, and 9 times out of 10, they'll be able to identify it.
And what do you see as the benefit to young people of being a member of the Young Ornithologists Club?
I think one of the greatest things is teaching them the respect of the countryside. I think through the 60s, late 50s, 60s, most of us, including people that are very interested now, abused the countryside that we've got. And I think by teaching them at this age, if they can teach their children, and everybody gets to know what the countryside's got to offer us, then I think we'll gain in the long run. I think it is the destruction that we were so used to seeing in the 60s with bird nesting and things like this that you're teaching them not to do.
And hopefully they're going to go on and become responsible adults because they've had this kind of learning experience when they've been young.
Yes, I think if you teach anybody at an earlier enough age, you know, they will continue to respect what they've learned. If you don't teach them and they're allowed to run havoc over the nature reserve or the countryside and pull down trees and branches, then they'll never get to learn and they won't respect it.
And hopefully young people will learn to respect the countryside through the example set by volunteers like Mike. We spoke to 2 young people who are learning that respect with the Young Ornithologists. One of them is Mike's son, Ross, the one who was responsible for getting Mike involved. Ross showed me how to make bird feeders. By the way, the Young Ornithologists sell these to raise money for a new telescope.
We had our lemonade bottle, which we cut in half, and we took the bottom base off to use as a lid, which comes on enough to let you refill. We put a ring of mesh around the bottom of it and then put a block of wood to stop the nuts from falling out.
And these are plastic lemonade bottles?
Yes.
And whose idea was it?
Well, my dad's done that one, and I've done another one.
You designed one, didn't you?
Yes.
Which one was that?
It's a gutter, and it's got holes in the edge, which were covered by mesh, which we screwed on. We put 9 stations where the birds could feed, and 1 on the bottom, which allowed them to hang upside down.
And what sort of things do you put into it?
Just nuts, because anything else just falls out.
And there's a young volunteer who willingly gives up his time to raise money for the Young Ornithologists. What other kind of work do they do at the farm? Well, we spoke to Danny about the kind of work that he does.
Well, we did the steps up on the nature trail. We had to dig them out and count the birds sometimes. Count them in the morning, see how much swallows and things like that there is. We help out with the goats and the bird boxes. We clean them out around about this time and make new ones and count them all and see how many birds there is.
Do you like working here at Vane Farm?
Yeah.
Why?
It's good because it helps people and it helps the birds and everyone, and it gives me something to do at the weekends.
Some very positive reasons there for doing voluntary work from a young volunteer. That was Danny, one of the young ornithologists who are based at Vane Farm. Earlier, Jim Stevenson, the warden at Vane Farm, mentioned a group called the Camping and Caravan Club who've been doing some work there over the years. Let's meet some of them now and find out what they've been getting up to. Tom Sutty talked to Tom McFarlane, chairman of the Edinburgh branch, and asked how they got started.
It started off with the countryside care section of the Camping and Caravan Club, and we gradually started off in Scotland in a small way. We now have a section in Renfrewshire and another section in Edinburgh district. And we do 2 projects a year, 2 weekend projects, 1 in March and 1 in October. We have built a hide. We have built a cairn, we've planted about 1,000 trees, and we're now busy on a disabled walkway. For disabled people, blind people, people in wheelchairs, who can wander around this little bit of the farm and see nature as it is at the farm.
What's involved in setting up a disabled walkway?
Well, it was the brainchild of the warden here, and Jim thought of the idea, and we put in two bridges, and this weekend we intend to put another two bridges in, so that wheelchairs can be manoeuvred around the terrain and less hazard for the people in wheelchairs.
What do you get out of doing this?
Satisfaction that we get a lot from the countryside. An awful lot from the countryside. We're out practically every weekend and we'd like to put something back again.
The Camping and Caravan Club have certainly helped to improve the facilities at Vane Farm over the years, and their latest project, the disabled walkway, will certainly be a great boon. What do the members of the club get out of it? And why do they come back year after year? Myrna Lindsay now explains.
Well, it's at two weekends a year that we really thoroughly enjoy, and we'll get a great deal of pleasure out of it with, and a great deal of satisfaction, because we feel we're doing something that's benefiting other people and birds as well, of course.
What kind of work do you actually do on the farm?
Just about anything. So far I have been creosoting, kneeling, sewing. We've just finished making a bird table, which I must admit the men were not terribly appreciative of our methods, but it's got there and it looks fine. Whether it'll stay up, of course, I don't know.
Myrna Lindsay of the Camping and Caravan Club, giving us an idea of the kind of things they get up to. In fact, the club's not only involved in manual work outside. Tom Sutty met up with Margaret Bigley in the coffee bar and asked her what she was doing.
We're serving teas and coffees to the visitors who come in. We've been quite busy. It's a nice day. And if we're not doing that, we can find work outside. So it's as simple as that. And as we camp caravan all summer, we feel we should put something into the countryside.
Now, no visit to Vane Farm would be complete without going down to the Hyde by the side of Loch Leven, and that's where Tom Sutty caught up with Betty Rowlings, another of the volunteers.
Well, I show people birds. I try to tell them a little bit about the birds. I don't know all that much myself, and some of my visitors know a great deal more than I do, but I try to help the beginners.
How did you get involved?
I thought bird watching would be a nice, peaceful occupation for someone who was crippled with a bad back operation. For the last 10 years, I've been coming most Saturdays. I come in the morning and go when the visitors leave. That can be any time from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock sometimes. I just talk to people if they want to be talked to, leave them alone if they prefer to be left alone. I bring my own telescope and some binoculars down and lend them to visitors. And if they ask questions, I try to answer them if I know the answers. I don't always.
What do you get out of doing this?
Oh, enormous pleasure from helping people to enjoy birds. I find birds so beautiful, so magic, and the more I know about them, and the more I travel a great deal looking for birds, the more I enjoy them. And if I can help other people to enjoy them, especially the children, then perhaps the next generation will have some birds. If nobody appreciates them now, and if the young people don't enjoy them, there won't be any birds in 50 years' time.
And that really sums up what it's all about. A commitment to the birds and a belief that we can do something about it as individuals, spreading the word and telling more and more people of the need to conserve our countryside and the creatures we share it with. And in fact, if you live in the Kirkton area of Dundee, there's an opportunity next week for you to do just that, because at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening of next week, there's going to be a meeting held at Kirkton Community Centre. And it's not necessarily about word watching, it could be in a nature study or other conservation activities. But if you're interested in this kind of thing, why don't you pop along and see Liz Kay at Kirkton Community Centre at 7 o'clock next Thursday.
Next week, Voluntary Voice will be featuring the work of an organisation with a more local community focus, when we consider the struggles and successes of a Village Hall committee. Voluntary Voice from Lunan Head at the same time next Thursday.
So until then, we'll leave you with a thought from Betty Rowlings and the sounds of Vane Farm. And meanwhile, from Richard Hardy and Nancy Haig, good night.
If I can help other people to enjoy them, especially the children, then perhaps the next generation will have some birds. If nobody appreciates them now, and if the young people don't enjoy them, there won't be any birds in 50 years' time.